Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to William Richardson, pastor of the Covert, Hartford, and Pullman Seventh-day Adventist churches. And now, here's Pastor William.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity to come together, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and let us be changed into your image through the power of the Holy Spirit, putting your word into our hearts. May we be like Jesus today and forever. Speak to us now, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I like to go outside in nature. God teaches through the Bible and through nature. So this morning, when I walked outside on the back porch, it sits up high, I got a surprise. There was a baby deer in the yard. He was partly grown so he could run around. And I watched him for a while, and he just ran all around. He saw me. But what happened, I had forgotten to close the front gate in the front yard. So the gate was wide open, and I'm thinking that's how he got into the yard. And so I watch him for a while as he's going around the yard, and he's looking at me, and he's trying to find a way of escape. And then the thought came to me, I could just run out there and just scare him and make him run into the front yard. Well, I'm glad I didn't do that, because all of a sudden, a big mama jumped the fence, came out the woods or the next door, wherever, and just came and walked toward me and then just tried to stare me down. But I was in the back door, so I had protection. Actually, I backed up and got inside the door. And as I was standing in the door, looking at Mama Deer, and she was looking at me, she watched me for a long time. And then she forgot all about me and went over toward the little baby deer, and they started grooming each other. And I thought about that. Now, if I had went out there and tried to scare away that baby deer, that mama would have jumped that fence. She was right there watching and would have had maybe a fighting match or whatever, you know, a boxing match, because you know how they box with their hooves. But I'm thinking, now, that mama deer is watching over her baby deer. How much more does God watch over us? How much more? If God has put it in a deer to watch over the babies, how much more has God, and we're his children, we're sons and daughters of God. And no matter, you know, where we are in life, no matter if we jump over the wrong fence, it doesn't matter. We're God's children. He loves us, and he's going to deal with the devil in our life. And he's prepared a place for us. When he gave his son Jesus to die on the cross, he prepared a place for us called heaven. So today we're going to look at, what is heaven really like? If it's in the Bible, let's read this. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. If it disagrees with the Bible, it's not for me. Let's try that again. Let's read it together. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. If it disagrees with the Bible, it's not for me. See, the Bible is the word of God. It's not man's word. God has given it through men to us. All except one part of the Bible he wrote himself. What part is that? He didn't trust that to a prophet. Ten Commandments. He spoke it from heaven and he wrote it down on stone. Gave it to Moses to give to the world. And that's our job right now, to give the Bible and the Ten Commandments to the world, not only as a written document, but as a living document by Christ living in us. But what is heaven like? Those who accept Jesus as their Savior will be forgiven of their sins and be saved and live forever. Revelation 21 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." This world is going to pass away. It's written. It's gone away. It's not going to be here forever like it is now in its sinful state. Each of the prophets from Genesis to Revelation pointed men and women forward to new heavens and a new earth. It's definitely coming. We're going back to the experience of living in the Garden of Eden. That's the future. When you look at death, when you look at the problems of life, God has seen through all that and has revealed to us the end of the story. So it's going to be a beautiful, artists can't even conceive. You know, we can't even put in our minds how beautiful it's going to be. When I think about the fruit trees and you think about your favorite fruit, what you like, it's going to be even better than what you enjoy it now because our taste buds will go back to the original and the fruit is going to be delicious. The animals, all the animals, we're going to have get a chance to enjoy. You know, I don't enjoy. Sometimes I walk next door and there's so many deer walking around in the yard next door. Sometimes I take my hoe with me as I'm walking home next door just in case one wants to act up. But when things are restored, all the animals will be friendly. The raccoons and the mice and whatever, you know. Things we want to get rid of now. In the Garden of Eden, there was love, joy, and companionship. Everything was perfect. But what happened? The devil came and lied. Told Eve that you're going to be on a higher state if you disobey God. And you will not die. And that's why we got to go to a funeral this week, because God told the truth and the devil lied. And the sad drama of sin and death has, we've got what, 6,000 years of experience with that now. But it's soon to be come to an end. There's been a royal line of people, of prophets and men and women who have served God, who believed in God. Abraham. Abraham focused his mind not on the things of this world, but on the things of eternity. And we must do that. It says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God. It continues. Moses. Think about Moses, his life situation. The devil was trying to kill Moses as a baby. He killed all the male childs that were born, but God had a plan for his life and spared his life, and he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, adopted son. But what did Moses do? He had all that opportunity to enjoy sin for a season, but it says by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing or the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, there are many promises that we can receive right now. We can receive forgiveness of sin. That's right now. You pray and ask God to do that. You got it. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. Accepted by faith. But there are other promises. You may be praying for a certain financial situation, that tax time, situation with the car, situation with the family. God is faithful. He will do what he sees best in your situation. But forgiveness of sin, that's now. You ask God to forgive you, he forgives you. And we accept that by faith. And these all died in faith, not having received the promise. What about Abraham? Was he perfect? Was Abraham perfect? Did he sin? Did he tell lies? He did. But God knew his heart. He wanted to do right. He knew he had a human nature, but God forgave him and worked with him. And God is working with us just the same as he worked with Abraham. Embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're just passing through this world. 70, 80 by reason of strength. Some live to be 100. Some live a few years older. I had 103. But we all are under the curse of sin, and we are under the promise of eternal life through Christ for those who accept him. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. How many of you have ever been to Springfield, Ohio? Anybody ever been to Springfield, Ohio? No one. I have been there because that's where I was born. And you've been cities that I haven't been to. But there is a city none of us have been to. It's called heaven, and it's a real place. God has prepared a city. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. God loves us, and love produces love. Now, we love our children. Wonderful joy when a baby is born. The drama. I mean, it's traumatic going through a childbirth. As the lady has to go through 9 months of what she has to go through. But then when that baby is born, it's wonderful. It's rejoicing. Part of heaven is going to be fellowship with family and friends and those we read about. But the greatest joy is going to be the relationship we're going to have with Jesus, to get to know our loving heavenly Savior, to talk with him, to look at him. And one of the things about his character, we talked about the presence of Jesus and his glory, you know, his divinity, his glory. But we're told that the love that he had on his face is what draws so many people to him. The love of God. Revelation 21:2 says, then I, John, saw the holy city. The prophet has seen it. It's there. It's real. He saw it. New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. One day, the heavenly city is going to come down where the throne of God is, and it's coming down from heaven, and it's going to be planted right here on this planet. And God is going to be sitting on his throne with his children. He wants each one of us there because he's prepared a place for us. We're going to be sitting with Jesus on the throne of God. Why? Because we've had an experience that Jesus has gone through. Jesus took on a human body, was hungry, was tired. People talked bad about him. They finally killed him. But he was resurrected and went to heaven, and he's preparing a place for those who love him. He totally defeated Satan. Talks about the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles. Who were the 12 apostles? We had James and John, sons of thunder. They were ready to cut you up if you didn't do what they thought you should do. Peter, he thought he would do anything for Christ. He would sacrifice. He was ready to fight. But when the scorn came down upon him, he began to lie and curse. God drew that out of him so he could see it, so he can confess that and receive forgiveness. Why did God choose these men and put their names, you know, put the 12 foundations and the 12, what does it say? The 12 apostles, 12 foundations, because God wants to give us hope. He wants us to know that they can make it, we can make it too. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. Heaven's goal is to get as many people as possible. And that's where we come in. This good news that we have, that's what the world needs. Politics is not going to solve the problems of the world. Can't do it. Social workers, the police, all these things are needed, but they can't solve the sin problem. Only thing that can solve the sin problem is to accept Jesus as your Savior and change the heart. It's a heart problem. It's in the mind. But God wants as many there as possible. Whoever you are, you can make it through one of those gates, and you can bring your family with you. How you do that? You pray for your family. You talk to Jesus. He measures the city with 12,000 furlongs. Its breadth and height are equal. The city is 1,500 miles square. Say, like this was the city, this church we're in now. It would be 1,500 miles all around. That's a big city, isn't it? 375 miles on each side. Enough room for all of us. And then it goes high up also. What Jesus promised will certainly come. In his Father's house, there are many mansions, and he has prepared for us a place. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual was one pearl. And the streets of the city were what? Pure gold. You got people going with hearts have been purified as the gold tried in the fire. And then we're going to be walking on golden streets. What an experience is coming. God has prepared a beautiful place for us. The Garden of Eden is going to be even more beautiful than it was when Adam and Eve were there. The Bible says in Isaiah 35:1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. The beauty of Eden will be restored again. How many of you like flowers? Beautiful flowers. Yeah, beautiful flowers and the birds, all different colors. It's going to be a wonderful experience, what God has planned for us. We can't even imagine what it's like. As we're looking now at the dying trees, it seems like more trees are dying in the waste places, but God is going to restore it back to the original. That's why we have a Sabbath, to think about what it used to be like and what it's going to be like. We get the whole picture. From the Eden lost, Eden restored. And we're right here now, right at the point of getting ready to go in there. Don't be discouraged. Don't get overwhelmed. What will our physical condition be in this new earth? Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, for our citizenship is where? Heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. I told you how before, how when I was coming back from Cuba, trying to get out of Cuba with my passport, I didn't have all my documents with me. Well, I had them, but they were in the bag, and I didn't know where they were with me. But I wanted to get back home. I wanted to get out of Cuba and get to the United States. I wanted to get there. And we are to long for heaven, because this place is not our home. We're just here. We're in school. We're in the classroom of God. We're learning about Jesus. We're learning about the devil. And we're making decisions which way we want to go. The Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. A glorious, resurrected, immortal body. Jesus came about that tomb after being dead. They killed him on the Friday. He rested in the grave over the Sabbath. Then he came about that tomb. The devil couldn't keep him in the tomb. It was the plan of salvation for Jesus to rise the third day. And he told them over and over and over again, this is what's going to happen. Just like he's telling us over and over and over, he's going to make this earth anew. And he wants us to be a part of it. On the walk to Emmaus, he pointed them toward the scriptures. He didn't reveal who he was because he wanted them to understand what the Bible says. And this is our hope. God wants us to understand what the Bible says, not how we feel. Not what others think, the philosophy of the day. It's amazing how, I mentioned this before, there are many universities, theological universities, that teach that the Bible is not true. They've accepted higher criticism where they doubt the Bible and try to say it's not inspired. The miracles didn't happen. But I know from my own life that the Bible is true. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The Bible is true. We're going to know Jesus one day by his mannerisms. That's when the disciples saw him as he was praying over the bread, the way he normally prayed. They knew him. They'll know us. They knew Jesus by his voice. Mary Magdalene, she fell at his feet. He said, don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended to my Father. He went up to God the Father. God approved that his sacrifice was complete, and God will accept obedient, repentant men and women, boys and girls. Then they saw his physical form. This man on the left, he looks just like Willie Malone. That was a good friend I had when I was in the military. Willie Malone. Willie Malone, I told him when we was in the Vietnam together, I said, if you ever get to Ohio, Springfield, Ohio, come by and see me. And I forgot all about Willie Malone when I got out of the service. But one day, Willie Malone shows up at my house. I was staying there with my father and mother and my parents at that time. And he was a truck driver driving through the state. And he remembered what I told him about Springfield, Ohio. And he had driven into the city, didn't know where I lived. He asked people, where was the church. He knew my father was a pastor. He found out where I lived, and he came by there to see me. And I want to see Willie Malone in the kingdom one day. I got to get in touch with him. You got family and friends you want to see in the kingdom. God wants you to get them into the kingdom. That's why we all have an influence. Each one of us has influences of people that we can witness to and encourage and pray for. We will recognize one another when we get to heaven by our mannerisms, our voice, our individual personalities. Isaiah, now this is the one that really sticks out. This verse right here. It stuck out in my mind the other week when I was preparing to speak at Pullman. I shared this with Pullman. And that morning as I was studying that Sabbath morning, this stood out in my mind, this scripture right here. And the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. Now this part right here, the second part. The people who dwell in it, talking about heaven, will be forgiven their iniquity. That's a promise. They will what? Be forgiven their iniquity. And then when my wife saw that, when I presented it at Pullman, she said this is what had stood out in her mind. This text right here, this is in Isaiah, Old Testament. The people who dwell in heaven will be what? Will be forgiven their iniquity. And all of us have done wrong. We're born sinners. But through asking Jesus to forgive you, you get forgiveness. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, God begins to prepare you for heaven. Begins to take those things out of there, those things that bother us, the way the devil gets into us. But Jesus has prepared a place for us. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb say, you see how a deer leaps. That mother leaped over that fence this morning. The little baby couldn't leap. But I like to see a deer run. They run, and then they'll leap like a rabbit. They'll run and leap like a rabbit. So when we get to heaven, we'll be able to run like a deer. Won't get tired. Won't get exhausted and got to go to bed and sleep 8 or 10 hours. We'll be fresh every day. There'll be joy and happiness everywhere. You know, as a child, I used to love to climb trees. Jump out of trees and climb trees. Can't do it now. Probably break a bone if I could jump out of a tree. But we're going to have joy and happiness forever. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more crying. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. No more disease. There shall be no more pain. For the former things shall have passed away. Won't need charcoal anymore. I made me a charcoal potage. I had a pain and I put a charcoal potage on it and that helped the pain. Won't have that anymore. Amen. We need to learn these simple remedies though for the sicknesses that we have down here. No more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. Gone forever. And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was there what? The tree of life. I want to eat off that tree one day. Talk about some good-tasting fruit. You eat from that tree, and that power will just surge through you because it gives you not temporal life, but everlasting life. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. When we eat off the tree of life, we're not anywhere like Adam and Eve were. We're told they were more than twice as tall as we are today. But when we eat off that tree of life, we're going to grow back into the original that God created us to be. God is restoring us. He made us in his image. We're going back to that. We will be loved by God, cherished by God, embraced by God, satisfied by God. But those who wait on the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I may have mentioned this before, but when my father was in his 80s, he used to faint walking to the bathroom. And the physical therapist said, but he needs to keep walking. He needs to keep walking to build up his strength. So God is going to build our strength back up where we won't faint. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what the world needs now, a knowledge of the Lord, that he is good, he's loving, he's kind. Heaven is a real place. Isaiah 65, 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. They shall build houses and inhabit them. The roof's not going to start leaking, and you're going to have to get some mold out of them. We're not going to have all the problems that we have now. Every desire of our heart will be filled. Every desire. You like grapes? Plant you some grapes. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. How long shall we enjoy it? Forever. Millions, billions, trillions of years. What about fellowship and friends? Matthew 8:11, and I say unto you that many will come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We'll get a chance to meet them. Get a chance to meet Adam. See him, our great grandfather. Get a chance to talk with Adam. What was it like? Get a chance to talk with Moses, who talked with God. We, you know, Moses is no different than you and I. He had the opportunity to get to know God, and he did. We have the opportunity. We can get up in the morning, still same sun in the sky, same stars at night, and we can get up and we can talk to God. That's how we get to know him. We can pray through these trials that we're going through. We can talk to Daniel. How was it like being thrown in that lion's den? We've been in trials. You know, the devil is like a roaring lion. But in the midst of all this roaring lion and all of that, Daniel had faith in God. We'll get a chance to talk with Daniel. So go through your trials in prayer. That's how you defeat the devil, who is like a roaring lion. When the weakest saint, we're told, begins to pray, the devil trembles because he knows you're calling on a power greater than he is. Peter and James and John, but most of all, we'll get a chance to talk with Jesus. We'll get a chance to see Jesus face to face. We'll get a chance to spend time with our God who loves us, and he wants us to live with him throughout eternity. Isaiah 66, 23 says, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So it's going to be some wonderful Sabbaths. We're practicing now. We're practicing down here, keeping the Sabbath, learning about the Sabbath, coming together and fellowshipping, reading the Word of God. But then we're going to look, be face to face with God and Jesus, all the angels, and get a chance to meet our angels that watched over us, that protected us when that car was getting ready to run into us. Wonderful city. Jesus is saying, come. Come as you are. Just come to God. Be forgiven of your sins and be saved and live with God forever. How many of you want that in your life? You want to be forgiven of your sins and live with God forever. I want that. Father, thank you, Father, for this wonderful plan that you have for our lives. You sent Jesus to die, to pay the penalty for the sins that we have hurt you with, and hurt others. Forgive us, Father. And Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for being our loving Heavenly Father. We look forward, Father, to being with you one day in heaven to live throughout eternity. So have your will in our lives today. Each one that raised their hands and you know our hearts, each one under the hearing of my voice, forgive us and save us in your kingdom at last and use us to reach out to others even today. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to William Richardson, pastor of the Covert, Hartford, and Pullman Seventh-day Adventist churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Hartford Church at 57825 Pinery Road in Hartford, Michigan, and their service begins at 10:50 a.m. Or visit the Pullman Church at 655 52nd Street in Pullman, Michigan, and their service begins at 11 a.m. Or visit the Covert Church at 3381 M140 Highway in Covert, Michigan, and their service begins at 3:30 p.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.